Yes, it does. Oh, my sheep is battered. Hallelujah. The anchor holds. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my sails are torn. I am falling on my knees as I face the raging sea of the anchor holds. Oh, hallelujah. In spite of the storm. Amen. I'm thankful it does, aren't you? Amen. Thank you, sister, brother. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we yield ourselves to you, Lord, that you might come and bring a teaching from your word that would be a help and be beneficial, Lord. Lord, our teaching isn't meant to educate and make us smarter or make us profound intellectuals. But Lord, it's just to set our feet that much firmer, Lord God, to know where we stand, what we believe. I ask that you'll guide me, Lord, to be a help to your body here tonight. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joel chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 4. Hallelujah. Saturday, I wanted to have a meeting with the trustees. Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, too early, too late. Brother Jim? Trustees, Saturday? Yeah. Okay. All right. Joel 1, chapter 4, that which the pomel worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Then if we could go to Joel chapter 2, verse 25. It says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pomel worm, my great army which I sent among you. Amen. You may be seated. These, as it's stating here, the pomel worm, locust, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, these were representations of messengers of death that were come to destroy during the church ages. You know, there was four horse riders, well, there was four messengers of death. And they had destroyed to where, if you can remember, I couldn't get a hold of my overheads and that, and we don't have the other capability just yet, but if many of you are familiar with the candlestick, how it's set up and has the seven church ages and the messengers and all that, and how each one shows how much light and how much darkness, well, it had, you remember the one where it just about it all blacked out. That would have been the fourth church age. It had just about blacked out where there wasn't nothing left. That was that was the last messenger of death that had went out. And what it caused it was this Antichrist, the doctrine of the Antichrist had started out there in that first church age and began to spread. And what really happened was eventually coming to an organizing to where we ended up with the Roman Catholic Church. And the people, as far as light was concerned, they were in darkness because the scriptures had been were in Latin, which was a language that no one could read except the priests or those who were ordained by the church to be able to read it. Common man couldn't read it. And the reason for that, I mean, you think about it. Why did the Catholic Church choose the Latin language? Because no other nation was using it. It was a dead language. When Rome fell, that did away with any country that was using the Latin language. Latin is used today in medicines and things. That's why many times some of the medicines, you're like, well, I don't remember what the name of that medicine is. It's in Latin. Anyway, that brought a death, a darkness, because the people, they were bound by whatever that they were told, that the priest told them, or whatsoever the Pope had decreed. They couldn't go like you can and read in your Bible and say, wait a minute, what that fella's saying doesn't line up with this right here. And so God allowed, it says, whom I've sent among you, God allowed this to happen because they, of what was, as the people begin to accept the doctrine, then that thing was going to have to die before it could bring forth life again. It had already been hurt. It had already been wounded to where the only way for it to be restored and come back, it had to die. Then we had four messengers within the first four ages, four messengers of death. Then the last three ages you got, there had to be four messengers of life. But you say, well, there's only three ages. Well, you're correct. But there had to be four messengers, and I'll show you how that fits in here. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, but perhaps you've not seen it in the scriptures the way that that we'll be going through it. You know that it was Luther that stood forth and said, the just shall live by faith. It was Luther's justification. Then came John Wesley with sanctification. Then came the Pentecostals with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of gifts. But this baptism of the Holy Ghost they had, this wasn't the sealing of the Holy Ghost or the very life of Christ. This was merely a baptism upon their spirit. Now, if that's hard for you to understand, listen to this. Brother Branham, when he went and he went amongst those Pentecostals, and there was one that spoke in tongues, the other ones interpreted. Brother Branham shook their hands. The one fellow that spoke in tongues and all that, he said, if there ever was a hypocrite, that man was. He said how many different women he had been with. He was living with one woman and going out with another woman, you know. And he said the other fellow shook his hand and said he was a genuine Christian. Now, how could it be that this man could speak in tongues? Because the anointing of the Holy Ghost could come upon his spirit. But there was no life of Christ in his soul. Amen? That's why that you can go and you can listen to a minister a preacher that doesn't see this end time truth. And you ask and say, are they anointed? They can be anointed on their spirit. That's where the anointing comes to fall. When you hear a preacher that's preaching, you say, oh my, he's anointed. Many times though, we get mixed up and sometimes we think that the excitement in their voice is the anointing. And it's not. That's the personality. That's the personality. One time I was asking about a young preacher. I didn't really know him real well, and I was kind of asking another brother about him, and he said, well, I don't know. He says he didn't really care for him, but said when he preaches, boy, he really preaches with anointing, you know. Well, first time I heard him, I thought, there ain't no more anointing on this than it would be if I went out and poured water on a rock. All it was he shouted and screamed top of his voice. That ain't the anointing. One of the greatest anointings in the scripture. Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. And then he sat down under one of the greatest anointings. And then he took a seat. I'll tell you what, I've been in services before to where the anointing come forth in such a way from that message, it's anointing, there was such a reverence, a sacredness that had fallen. I remember leaving a meeting one time, we were at a camp meeting, I left the service. I didn't even feel like talking to nobody. A lot of times, you know, you get together, you fellowship, you're talking. I didn't feel like talking to nobody. I just wanted to go back to my room. I didn't want to break that. What I felt there in the service and the sacredness of, I didn't want to go fellowship with nobody. I didn't want to be laughing and cutting up or whatever. I just wanted to stay under that as long as I could. Now, I don't mean I'm, you know, a very holy person. I'm just telling you what I felt. So this baptism that we're talking about, the Pentecostal age, it was a baptism come on their spirit. And we know we've many of these things I'm going to mention, I guess I'm believing that I've taught these things over the years, or many of you have been under teachings and heard these, but you know, we're made like a three-room house. So there's the flesh, the body, the flesh, and then there's the spirit. Then in there is the soul. Now, in the spirit realm, there's five gates of the spirit. And those five gates, not only can God work in those gates, but so can the devil. The devil can get in amongst that and get you all upset in your spirit. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed to the day of redemption, putting off from you all malice and envy and strife. And why? Because even though your soul is sealed, the devil still can get in working among them five gates of the spirit. And he can cause you to get angry at somebody. He can cause you within that, in that realm of your spirit, to want to hold a grudge. He can cause you to, in that realm, to want to give over to bitterness. To give over to anger. But they don't got a thing to do with that soul. And I hate it when I've allowed the devil into that realm. I hate that when I find out, oh man, I've let him sneak in on me. But what is it that identifies it? What is it that can make him leave that? The word of God that's in you. You believing, your faith will make him leave. Your faith, when the word comes forth and the word identifies that he's in a certain realm or a certain gate, then you believing that and accepting that the word will set you free from that, he's got to leave. He can't stay where there's faith. Remember what the prophet said about even in divine healing? He says when the Lord begins to deal with an individual, he says the demon that's on them calls them to be sick, and it'll rise up and it'll call out to other devils. What? Calling out for help. And then he'll say, he said, you ought to see the devils rise up and call for help. And said, because why? He said, because that they're afraid that person is going to start to believe. He didn't even say they were believing yet. The devil is afraid you're going to start to believe. That's all it takes to start believing. Hallelujah. So that's why they could have a baptism in the Spirit. They could speak in tongues. They could have other gifts working amongst them. And yet they can go out and do things like the world or whatever and say, and Brother Ram said in one message, he said, that's why he said you can't go tell a woman that's wearing a pair of shorts that she ain't got the Holy Ghost. So I have you to know I spoke in tongues. I got one just a little bit better. I got an aunt. If you go to saying something to her, disagree with what she's saying, she'll cut you off just by going to speaking in tongues and cut you right off. She ain't about to listen to you. You have to shut up and walk away, because every time you open your mouth, you just start speaking in tongues. In other words, that showing her knowledge and authority over you. You say, one of your aunts? Yep. Sometimes people get to thinking, oh, Brother Jerry, his family isn't, yeah, that's one of my relatives. Ain't no different than nobody else's family. But what was to come was, there was to come a baptism of the Holy Spirit that would actually bring a life, the very life of Christ living in you. Now, how could a person say that they got the life of Christ living in them and then deny any part of the word? The Holy Spirit would not deny his own word. God couldn't deny his own word. So if someone's claiming to have his life and yet they'll turn around and deny parts of his word, then they don't have it. The Spirit of truth will lead and guide us, right? It will guide you into truth. I was talking with another one of my aunts, fellowshipping with her when I was in West Virginia. And I was just kind of, I wasn't talking in any kind of condescending way to her, but I was just speaking to her, kind of giving her food for thought, you know, something to think on. And she was talking about one of my cousins and how after they was married and all that, and they were going to church and everything. And then they went out and committed adultery on their wife and done all these other things. And she said, and here he had the Holy Ghost at one time. And I said, what about the scripture where it said, whereby you're, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption? She said, I said, don't you believe the Holy Ghost would keep somebody? She said, yeah, as long as they keep him. I said, no, I said, I'd have to believe that there'd have to be more to the Holy Ghost. It ought to be something about the Holy Ghost wouldn't make you do them things. It'd keep you from doing those things. And it just kind of, she just kind of paused and thought and just kept thinking about it. You know, I told her, I said, that cousin of mine never did have the Holy Ghost. I don't care how much he spoke in tongues. If he'd had the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have went out and committed adultery. It didn't matter how I looked at that. I was talking about a relative of mine because one cousin, second cousin married a first cousin. So they weren't related to each other. They just both related to me. When I say stuff like that, that doesn't be strange down here. But it was, turn with me to Ezekiel. I don't know how far I'll be able to get tonight. Y'all forgive me. I don't really want to go into lunch, but I've really been, I need your prayers. I've still going to the doctor, but I've really been having a time with some things. And I just need your prayers. But turn me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Look at verse 3. Let's just go on to verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Now you know exactly where I'm at now. The valley of dry bones. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon him, and the skin covered him. That's three things that's happened. Bones came together, the sinews and flesh covered, then the skin covered that. That's three things that happened. And after them three things happened, it says, but there was no breath in them. Now what this is, the Brother Branham takes and he's likening this to Luther's justification. Bones come together. Wesley's sanctification, the sinew and flesh came upon him. Pentecost, baptism, Holy Ghost, restoration of gifts, the flesh covered them up. But yet there was not breath in them. Now, what does that mean? You got Luther. Did Luther look, did that age and what we were believing, how much of an image did that look like Christ? It still looked more like the Roman Catholic Church than it did Christ. But there, now look, I'm not condemned. They were living in all the light that God gave them. We needed that to happen. Why? Because there had to be a restoration come. And it had to come in a process. It had to come in a process. It couldn't all happen at once. Now, it comes to John Wesley's age. Go to a Methodist church today and see just how much like what we know Christ to be in his last day. See how much that looks like it. No. But yet in that age, that day, that was all the light they had. Now look, Wesley didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, that fellow before me with justification, we don't need that. No, Wesley believed in justification. But Wesley preached and said, we need more than just to be justified. We need to be sanctified. And so he preached a message that, the you know why they began to be called Methodists? Because the churches in England kicked John Wesley out. They didn't want to hear him. So John Wesley went to preaching on the street corners. And they called it the New Method. And that wasn't meant to be a good name. They were trying to say something bad against me. Oh, this is the new method. Look, they ain't in a fine big church. He's out there on the street corner. And that's how I got to be called the Methodist. Then when Pentecost came, they didn't say, we don't need to be justified. We don't need it. Friends, you'll never meet a Pentecostal that don't talk to you about being sanctified. They'll talk to you about being sanctified. And they'll talk to you about, a true one will talk to you about, they believe in the Holy Ghost. They believe in the Holy Ghost. They believe you got to have the Holy Ghost. They just get stuck on what the evidence of it is. So they don't get any further than just having a baptism on their spirit. Because with the baptism on their spirit, they can speak in tongues. That's what the prophet pointed out. He said, and I know this for a fact from where I was from. Seemed like every time a revival we had, same people was getting saved over again. Look, and you know what they tell you? Well, we don't believe now that Baptist doctrine of once saved, always saved. Well, maybe not the way the Baptists talk about it, but I don't believe I got to come to church every day and get saved. You know, I'm reminded of Brother Roel Soriano said that, you know, he was from the Philippines, the brother from the Philippines. He said his family was raised Catholic. And he said every year the priest was asking money of them to pray his grandfather out of purgatory. And he said after a while he got to thinking after several years passed, said, why do we always got to keep giving money to get him out? If he likes that place enough to keep going back, let's let him stay there. In other words, it didn't make sense. If they paid him out once, why'd he go back? Well, it's the same thing. Why do you got to get saved over again? David said he didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of his salvation. You don't need to get saved over again. You just need to get your joy back. Now, I know the Baptists, they teach us once saved, always saved, meaning they can get saved and then go out and live any old way they want to, and they're still okay because they got saved. Nope, that ain't right neither. They never got saved in the first place. Or else they wouldn't go back out there like that. So I was talking to someone a few years back. And he was talking about some cousins of his. And he was talking about things that was running around, what they was doing, this and the other. And he told me, he said, he was a preacher. And he told me, he said, well, if they got the Holy Ghost, it'll bring them back. I said, brother, they ain't got the Holy Ghost. He said, woo. He said, man, he said, I don't know why I can say that. There's been times I'd like to have said it. But he said, I don't know. I can't say that. I said, well, I can. Because if they had the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't go back out there and do that stuff. You ain't going to get the Holy Ghost and go out and live in adultery. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost and go out there and surf the net for somebody to commit adultery with. Boy, if the Holy Ghost can't keep us from that, what in the world's use of having it? If the Holy Ghost isn't a keeper, if the Holy Ghost isn't something we can count on, then what in the world good is it? That don't mean we don't get tempted. It don't mean this flesh don't receive temptations. So don't get that on your mind and start going out of here feeling all condemned. Your flesh didn't get the Holy Ghost. Your flesh is still right here in Laodicea. I'll tell you what, Brother Branham talked about an advertisement. Now, this was back, goodness, years and years ago in his day. He talked about how they couldn't advertise something without using sex to advertise it. He said they can't advertise a pair of nylons without putting a pair of legs inside them. You know, hey, look, I was at my uncle's back last year, and he was laid up in the bed, been there almost a year, and they had a television in there, and what he liked to do is he liked to watch just certain programs, old-timey programs, Western, stuff like that, and he'd watch the news on it. But, you know, he was later watching the news, and on come this advertisement advertising women's underwear. Then on come one advertising men's underwear. And they couldn't just, you know, just show you a pair of underwear. Somebody had to have it on. And I told him, I said, Uncle Ronald, I said, would you have to see a commercial to know you needed to go out and buy your underwear? I said, when you see one of the commercials, does it make you think, man, I sure like to go out and buy me some underwear? He said, no. I said, I don't know why they got to show that stuff. People are going to buy it anyway. But it's good. If it was that bad when Brother Branham was talking about it, I'm going to tell you what, multiply it today. They can't advertise a hamburger without doing it some sexy kind of way. That's what it's all about. And you know what? Our flesh sees that stuff every day. You can't walk down, you can't walk through Walmart without seeing somebody showing themselves off. I was sitting in a little old cafe down in Pulaski yesterday. I had to make a trip down there. And I was sitting in this little cafe, and in walks this woman, and the only thing she had on top was just some kind of material, and that was it. And I happened to look up, and she walked in. She walked on past and went to sit down over to the counter, and I thought, how in the world could you walk out of the house looking like that? There wasn't nothing hid. I thought, how in the world could you have got dressed, looked in the mirror, and say, yep, I'm okay to go out? And I ain't talking about her being some supermodel or nothing. She wasn't. But it wouldn't matter one way or the other. I don't understand that. How in the world, you know, I don't know whether she was married or not. But why would some husband want his wife going out to advertise and everything? You know, that just, look how bad it's got. Let's go back here to the scripture. All right, we read down to verse 8, said, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. This is the message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Oh, how I wish I had time to go back into Ezekiel and pull out them dry bones and show you. He said, can these bones live again? He said, prophesy. How can prophecy come only through the prophet? The word always comes to the prophet. Brother Branham even looked at that and said, when Jesus Christ went walking down into the River Jordan, he said, what was it? The word coming to the prophet, John, standing down there in the river. The word always comes to the prophet. You're not going to have some pastor rise up. I'm not saying it won't happen, but if they do, they're going to be lying. That ain't how a pastor gets it. Yes, the Lord does come. He speaks, he shows, whatever, but he won't show me nothing outside of what that prophet has said. When Micah went down there to prophesy, when Ahab and him called him up, and remember he called up all them other prophets, and he said, and Jehoshaphat said, ain't she got one more? Ahab went looking and said, ain't that enough? He said, ain't you just got one more? He said, yeah, I do. I got one more. But he don't never say nothing good about me. Now, who was it they called up? Micah. Micah, of course, you know, told him, said, go on up. The priest said, the guy went down and slapped him across the face. He said, go on up, but if you come back at all, God never spoke by me. But who was the one that had prophesied what was going to happen? Who was it that the word of the Lord come to that Micah was referring to? It was Elijah. Elijah was the one who prophesied and told about the death of Ahab. He was the one that prophesied and told about the death of Jezebel and exactly how it would be. So Micah could not get a revelation outside of what God had spoke by that prophet Elijah. He had to say the same thing. And that's the way it is with pastors and evangelists and teachers. You got to say the same thing the prophet said. If I come give you some revelation outside of this, something's wrong with me. If I come in telling you, I'll tell you what, if Brother Branham was here, you have to sit and listen to me. Something wrong. Brother Brown was here, wouldn't there? There'd be no way you'd catch me up in this pulpit. I'd have been down at his feet listening. So it took, here was he prophesied. There's two times a prophet, see? Two times. He had to prophesy at the beginning, and then these things began to happen. The bones came together. The sinews and flesh came upon them. The flesh, the skin covered them. But there had to come another prophet because there was no life in it. Now what? Who was the first prophet that we're talking about? Paul. You say, wait a minute. Paul was in the first age. Whose message did they begin to get back into and see when it started out with Luther? Paul's. Paul's message. That's what it was all down through there, Paul's message. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Why? Because after all those ages of darkness, there was men, Luther being one of them, that began to translate the scriptures from Latin into a language that could be read by everyone. God began to bless. Not at first, they was just hand scribing everything. Where they interpret the Bible, Luther sat down and interpret the Bible, translate it. When he got done, he'd have a pile of papers or another book, but it'd only be one. But then God began to move, and he moved on men that were Christian men to invent things like the printing press. So that once they got it, they could set the letter and they could print them things off, boy, where everybody could get a Bible. What? That's why I'm saying they began to get back to the prophet's message. Why? Because it had been sealed up. They couldn't read it. It was in Latin. But once they had interpreted it, the word could be read. And that never stopped. It began to be translated into every language. And then they could all read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. A dispensation has been committed to me. They began to get back to the Word. They were so far off it by the time Luther came on the scene. That's why there wasn't hardly no light at all. They had got so far off the Word. But now watch. As it comes down that Pentecost stage, it's getting lighter, 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 and it comes down that Pentecost stage, and all of a sudden it looks like it's going backwards again. Why? There's something I read today I want to read to you. Listen to this. He said, there was justification, Luther's second stage, school of prophets. I'm sorry, forgive me. He said, all right, hold on, I got to back up here. Okay, he founded a church, first stage, justification, Luther's age. Second stage, school of prophets, sanctification, Wesley's age. Schools and organizations and so forth, third stage, Pentecost. What happened? They got so into building schools and forming the organization. Brother Branham said, now look, I've seen and heard churches that are saying we believe this and we believe that, we believe this and believe that. And I know Brother Todd's been wanting me to put some a little bit more up on the internet, and I will, as the Lord leads me. But I'll tell you what I'm going to end it with, and whatever else the Lord adds to. I'm not putting no period. Say, well, why, brother? You think you're going to get something beyond this? No, but I know this. I don't know everything. And I don't think there's nobody in this building here that does. And I believe that God is still showing us things that we've been listening to for years. We've been reading it for years and never saw it. We heard it, but we didn't hear it. Then all of a sudden, God will drop down and say, oh my goodness, I don't know how many times I've read this book and I never saw that right there. Why? It's time. Brother David was telling me about some people that gave him some work. It's a group that called The Gathering. I think they've got maybe three different churches of them. But there's one around here, and they believe that the church is getting ready to go through a hard time. So they're buying up a bunch of property, and they're going to build out there. And they're going to have things to take care of themselves, because he said we're getting ready to go through a really hard time. And he was asking about it, and I said, well, you realize there are people that believe the church has to go through a tribulation. And I said, I can tell you this, if they believe they got to go through it, I believe they will. If they believe they're going through it, then I believe they are. And they're preparing for it. But friends, we're not preparing for that. We're prepared to take a flight and get out of here. That's why we can't stay with just a baptism of gifts. We can't just stay with just justification or sanctification. We need to have the very life of Christ. Why? Because the headstone is coming down to cap it off. And Christ can't come until the body is like him. Listen to this. He said, now listen real close. I want to show you something here. The first part I'm going to read, we've already been talking about, but the last part's what I want to get to. We've come through Martin Luther's justification like Abraham did. We come through Wesley's sanctification. We've come through the Pentecostal age. We've seen the placing of the gifts into the church. And now what we're saying, what's next? God manifests himself in flesh, discerning the very thoughts of the heart. Exactly what Jesus said would come to pass. And then the next thing is a change in the body to receive the promised Son. You catch that? The next thing. That's what we're waiting on. Friends, look, we've came beyond. There had to be more than just justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there was, the book was sealed with seven seals. And until them seals were loosed, we didn't even have the word completely open to us. But the mysteries of God were to be finished when the seventh angel's voice sounded. And the seals were to be loosed. Amen. And what lay hid under there was to be revealed to this bride. Amen. Why? Not so we could get puffed up and say, look at us, look how much we know. Not so we could go around and say, well, if you don't say it the way Brother Jerry says it, y'all ain't with it. Y'all better leave all these other places. You better get over here. This is where it's happening. That wasn't what it was for. It was that this bride could become clothed in his word. People, you know, Brother Bram said, if I get this bride to stand still long enough, I'll dress her with the word. But I'll tell you something. The Bible said, now I'm not taking away from what Brother Bram said. Brother Bram was talking about getting that out there. Brother Bram said, once you receive the Holy Ghost, everything you have need of, including the rapture's in you right then. Not just a baptism on your spirit. That's why we had to have the literal life of Christ. And it could not come. That word couldn't be opened except God had to send another prophet. That's why there had to be a prophet come whose name wrote William Marion Branham in the Bible. See, that's why a lot of people, they don't believe prophets no more because the Bible's been finished. But the prophecies of the Bible ain't been finished. Hallelujah. Amen. And there had to go forth another prophecy. There had to go forth another prophet. Why? Because there was part of this word that it says it right in the book of Revelations. There was part of this word. It was sealed up with seven seals on the backside of the book. And them seals had to be loose. And what did the Brother Bram say? He said, when them seals come off, he said, this Bible become a whole new book to me. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Where would we be without this end time word that was open to us? Where would we be out there stumbling around? We wouldn't be. Look, I'm not, you know, one brother left a message and said, I don't believe in all this elitism and them thinking they're better than everybody else. I don't think I'm better than everybody else. I'll tell you what I believe. He didn't have to open my eyes. He could have easily passed me by. For the age I was living in was wretched, poor, and blind. That's what I believe. He didn't have to, but he did. A brother one time said to me something, this is somebody from I knew back in my past. He said to me one time, he said, you know what? He said, I get up there and preach and all that. He says, then you get up there and preach. He said, and you just make me look bad. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, look how much God's gifted you. Boy, he's really gifted you to preach. And then on top of that, gifted you to sing. He said, I ain't gifted to do none of it. Later, as things progressed, I had to agree with him. God never did gift him to preach. He wasn't called to preach. It come out, it showed itself later on. Now, I'm not trying to say nothing bad about the brother. As far as I know, he's going on serving God, I hope. But you know what? I wasn't going to sit around there and feel sorry and sad and bad for him because he said, well, the Lord gifted you to sing and I don't got that. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't ask for it. But I'm not going to feel bad because God gave it to me. He didn't have to open my eyes, but he did, and I'm happy about it. I'm not going to feel bad that he opened my eyes. I'm not going to feel bad that he chose me. Somebody said to me one time, said, Brother Jerry, said, I've done this and that and the other, and that was wrong. Said, how in the world could God look past all that and save me? I said, why question it? Why question it? I'm not going to question the mercy of God. Sit around and say, how could God do that for me? Well, I mean, I could say, boy, as bad as I am, what in the world God ever see me? You understand what I'm saying? But he wanted to kind of like argue that maybe it wasn't supposed to be. What in the world? If God saved you, he saved you. What in the world do you want to talk yourself out of it for? I want to say, look, he didn't have to. I was, like Paul said, the chiefest of the sinners. But I'll tell you what, I'm so glad he did. And I'm like that song that said, you know, some people try to tell me that I didn't get saved, it didn't happen, but I want you to know I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Said, I was there when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me. He rolled away my heavy burden, and he gave me peace within. Satan tries to make me doubt it, but it's real, and I'm going to shout it. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he said, what's the next thing after him coming fleshly, the changing the body to receive the promised son? Now he goes into another message greater than Solomon is here. I'm going to be closing. And he says, okay, he said, now look at Abraham, brought through justification. Luther's age, sanctification, Wesley's age, Holy Spirit, Pentecostal age, confirming the place and the gifts in his church, and then appeared with his back turned and discerned the thoughts of Sarah's heart with her behind him. The next thing was to be fire to the unbelievers. So he discerned her thoughts while fire came and hit Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, next thing after that was fire to the unbelievers. He said, and then the transfiguration of Abraham's body, and then to receive the promised son. Friends, look, we can't receive the promised son until these bodies have first been changed. Say, so what are we waiting on now? The body change. There's not coming no other prophet. There's not coming no other messengers. It's just God continuing to unfold what he already sent to us. It's just that Holy Spirit speaking, saying, now hold on now. You need to do some checkup. Get this right here in line. Now it's going to take perfect love to get there. The church has got to have perfect love. We got to have perfect love for one another. We got to forgive even as Christ forgave us. See what he's doing? Telling us, take inventory now. You're going to have to get there. Why? Because we are at the end, my friends. The other day I was reading in the news. Said out in California they've had such a drought. Now they're talking about saying if it stays like that, that they said they're looking for a major earthquake because it's got so dry that where them plates and everything's already shifting. Well, it's got so dry to where now they're afraid it's going to start crumbling under there and just go right on off. We're there, my friends. You say you think it's going to happen or they're going to get rain. I don't know, but we're there. I know one day it is going to happen. Whew. every time we get a new leader elected in, I get to thinking, well, maybe this will be the one that'll do the final things that have to be done to sell us out. And you know, I thought when we got this one in, I thought, well, this will be it. You know, he don't really favor Israel. He'll turn America's back on Israel. Then it's getting close. He ain't got much time left. And I got to thinking, well, I don't know. Then the other day he spoke and said, if I had one more term. He said, if I had one more term, he could do it all. What he had set out to do. He needed one. He said, I need one more term. I don't know. I know they got all these politicians out there now. They're all talking and everything. And I guess Donald Trump's getting ready to come visit Nashville. And they got all them out there. But I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not prophesying, but I can tell you this. There could be something going on behind the scenes, and they won't even need that election. He said, if I have one more term, I think he wants it. I don't know. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Well, I'm glad. Come to the instruments, if you will, please. I'm glad that God sent a prophet. I am glad. I'm not looking down on anybody, friends. You know, I'm not looking down on anybody. To be honest with you, I get out amongst some of my Pentecostal relatives and Pentecostal friends and that, and I begin to see what they're doing, and I said, look, they ain't got near what God's opened up to us, and look what they're doing with what they do got. And I got to thinking, with all we got, are we doing enough? Are we putting the talents out there, or are we burying them? I know you say, well, he said that mule could outwork that thoroughbred any day. I know. But I'm saying with even in our own lives, I'm not talking about works and getting up clothes and getting up this and that, you know, and giving to that charities. On. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what are we doing with this old boy right here, with what we know, with what God has gave us. What are we doing with this? I walk past people, and I think, I got something that would save them. I got something that would give them life. I got something that would make them a part. Yet if they're not elect, I ain't got a thing that could change them. Huh? It's true. It didn't matter how much that Esau was taught by his mom and dad the right things, that boy was bound determined he was going to do what he wanted to do. And there's people out there like that. You could tell them, but they'd spit on it and walk away. Not only out there, we've had some right in here, some of my own relatives that have spit on this thing and walked away. You think, how could they do it? I look at some of the different young people that's walked away, and I think, how could they do it? And I look and see what their lives has turned into and think, was that what you wanted? Is that why you walked off? Is that what you wanted? Tell me one of them that's turned into a millionaire. Tell me one of them that's got anything hardly to their name. Tell me one of them that's made it famous. Not a one. They ain't got nothing. And that's what they left us for? No wonder the prophet said there'd be as many penny heirs in hell as there will be millionaires. Esau sold it for a morsel of bread and a little soup. Huh? Yes, sir. That's exactly what we're seeing. I'm sorry. I'm not calling none of your kids Esau's or whatever, but looking and seeing what they got and saying they gave this up for that, they ain't got nothing. Well, maybe you need to hear that tonight so you could ask them that. I don't know. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here tonight. Ask, dear Lord God, that you'll bless your people, Lord. Ask, God, you go with them, Lord, to have work tomorrow. And Lord, have many have to get up early. I pray you'll be with them on their way home tonight. Give them safe journey, Lord. And Lord, we pray you'll bring us back to appointed time on Sunday, Lord. I pray for those that weren't able to be here tonight, some sick, some out of town, different things. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch them, whatever they have need of. I ask, dear God, that you'll go be with the people, Lord, until we meet again. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 As you go away, man, let's sing that song. Can't you see why I'm happy? I love that song. Can't you see why?